John chapter 1. And we'll read the first 5 verses tonight. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Alexa, you pray for us.
Heavenly Father, praise it. We have focused on me. We have focused on the Lord. Put out all the instructions of this world. Think about who you are and what you have done for us. Praise it.
So I've witnessed this week the excitement that one experienced was getting a message, a letter in the mail. Annabelle and her friend Rachel, one of her friends, has been started this week sending letters back and forth in the mail. And so sometimes I go to the mail to get my mail and there's nothing in there, but Annabelle has some mail. And she's been real excited, and they've got this thing started going back and forth. And so as I was brooding over these first 5 verses, I realized that's really what has gripped John in these first 5 verses, is the fact that God has a word for the world, that He has sent a message to the world, and not just a word, but the word. We got text messages and emails and letters and different, there's various ways of speaking, but John is saying here, not a word, but the word, like the author of Hebrews says, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways in these last days, has spoken to us in His Son. So John is saying not just, it would be incredible if God had just, had anything to say to us. It would be incredible. When you think of someone at a gravesite, someone dies, and they go back to their life, and there's just this eerie silence. It's just like death and silence and no word, and just, it'd be incredible if just He had spoken a little bit. But John is saying He's fully spoken. He's fully expressed Himself. He's spoken the word. And if we're going to feel any of the wonder that John feels and wants us to feel in these first 5 verses, I think we could sum it up, and we need to see 3 grand truths about this word. I'll try to put them so you can remember them. Number 1, John maps out here the link, and you'll see what I mean by that, but the link of the word. And then he moves from there to speak of the life of the word, and then he ends with speaking of the light of the word. So we'll take these and go through them one at a time. So number 1, the link of the word. Anybody who has ever, normally you start out reading your Bible, you say, I'm going to read through the whole Bible at least the first time. You may get further next time, but normally people can make it through Genesis and Exodus, and then you bottom out and get bogged down in Leviticus. And so anybody should realize when John opens up here, he's echoing and alluding to what? What verse is just reverberating in the background? What's the background? What's the biblical background, you think, to these first five verses?
Genesis.
So listen to these links. You may notice in the beginning, but it's actually almost everything he says in these first five verses is found in Genesis. First of all, John says in the beginning, which you probably notice, Genesis begins with in the beginning. And then John says the Word. He says it three times. The Word, the Word, the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And you go back to Genesis, and what is the refrain you keep hearing? Then God said, then God said, then God said. So the Word. And he says the Word was God. Well, if you go back to Genesis, the first verse says that God created the heavens and the earth. And then you hear, when the actual creation is going on, God said, let there be light, and there was light. In other words, God created, but the spoken word created equals A plus B, C is the Word was God. Right there in Genesis. And so the Word was God. But then he says, all things in verse 3 came into being through him. If you go back to Genesis 1, you start hearing, God made everything. Living creature. He saw all that he had made. And then he mentions life. He says in him was life. And you go back and what do you see in Genesis? He made every living creature in whom was the breath of life. And so he's the source of all that life. And then of course, light. Verse 3 of Genesis 1. Let there be light. It was there too. And darkness was there too, wasn't it? In verse 2 of Genesis 1, darkness was over the face of the deep, and God said, let there be light. And then he split light and darkness. John has this split of light and darkness. Now the question is, it's obvious he's alluding to that. The question is, why would John be wanting us to think about Genesis 1 at the beginning of his gospel? And here's the basic reason. If you understand what Genesis 1 is presenting, then you'll understand why John is alluding to it. Genesis 1 begins with God's intention to make a new creation at the beginning. It didn't occur later. It was in Genesis 1:2. The whole earth was void and formless. And if we don't have time to develop it, but if you have a concordance or something, look up those words and you'll see in the rest of the Old Testament that refers to a wasteland. So you're dealing with the problem of evil in Genesis 1:2. And God is moving in and intending to drive out the darkness and bring in, he always intended, a new creation. It wasn't an afterthought. And what you find is for 6 days the Word is bringing it in. Light is driving back the darkness. But then he stops and he wants to complete this work through man. And so on the seventh day he rests and turns it over to man and gives him the commission to bring the whole world under dominion. And what do you find throughout the rest of the Bible? This is the story, okay? This is the storyline, so follow it. God is intending to bring about a new creation, and through a man, And what happens to that man? He fails. Adam fails. Well, then maybe Noah's the hope. Well, then he gets drunk right afterwards. Well, then maybe there's this promise given to Abraham, and it looks like it's the maybe Isaac's the hope. No, it's not him. Then maybe it's Jacob, and no, it's not him. And then maybe it's Joseph, and no, it's not him. Maybe it's the whole nation of Israel. No, it's not them all throughout their history. Maybe it's their Messiah. It's David, maybe. He's the seed that he was talking about, and then he falls. And then maybe it's Solomon, because God told David it was going to be his seed, and then here comes Solomon, and then he falls. And then all the prophets from Isaiah and Ezekiel on are saying, no, he's still coming, this seed. And so the storyline is someone's coming and the suspense is building. And basically, no man was found, like John writes in Revelation. Who can open the seals? There was no one in heaven and earth. And what John is saying, the Word who was effective for 6 days is coming to do it himself. That's what John is saying. This storyline that began in Genesis that has been failure after failure after failure, John's basically saying, sometimes when you want to get something done, you just got to do it yourself. And the Word himself is going to become a man and do what no man could do. That's what John is saying. And he says, this light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not. It has never overcome this light. Now, because I'm going to tell you something interesting here that I really love to do no matter what movie I'm watching. This is incredible. Because this storyline began in creation at the very beginning, it's etched. Even if it's subconsciously, it pops out. It's etched on the minds of men, this story. And so it doesn't matter if it's a Disney movie or a more serious movie. It always begins with something good that goes bad, that needs to be redeemed, and that ends happily ever after. That's the storyline. Man can't think of a different story because he can't live in another world other than God's world. And so, for example, The Lord of the Rings, it begins with a man who is supposed to get rid of evil and throw this ring in the fires of Mount Doom. And then for all these years, you see this ring deceiving and no one can conquer it. And then the movie ends with another man coming to do what no one could do and bringing about ridding the world of evil. It's they've robbed God of his own storyline, basically. And what John is saying is that's what Jesus is doing. He's coming to do what no one can do, and he's linking Jesus with this whole Old Testament storyline, building up so that he can say to Nicodemus in chapter 3, verse 10, are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? He ought to understand them. He can say in chapter 5, verse 39, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify, Genesis 1, about me. And so all through this gospel, you find him saying statements like, he is the true light. He is the true bread. He is the true vine. He's the fulfillment. You find the I am statements. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. All throughout. I am the way. So this is the link. This is the link of the word. John is not necessarily focusing on one word here. It's just the basic background that's reverberating here and rippling out. He wants us to go back to the original story that began. And he's saying, the suspense has built up, and now the Word has become flesh, and the author of the story has entered the story, and he's going to bring it to completion. In other words, right off the bat, John wants us to know that his gospel is about a second creation, a new creation, by alluding to the first. So this is the link of the Word. Now, if John is doing this, you know in verse 4, when he says, in him was life, he's not just speaking about the life of the first creation, right? Because he's alluding to the new creation. So it takes us to point 2, the life of the Word. John, when he says in him was life, he means in him was eternal life. In him was life of the age to come. In him was resurrection life. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he says, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. And he goes on, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. And then you get a similar, in verse 26, statement from our text in 1:4. He says, for just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And echoing 1:4, in him was life. So what is this life? He says in verse 28, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth, those who did the good to a resurrection of life, and those who did evil to a resurrection of judgment. Chapter 6, verse 68. No wonder then Peter says, to whom shall we go? We have the words of eternal life. So where would the Lord have some of us go tonight who need to be comforted by this? One thing that will help is if the good news of the gospel is life in a world full of death, it's okay every now and then when you come in to maybe reform our greeting a little bit. And we say, how's it going today? And you always say, good. It's okay to take the guard down and say, not so good. Because we're not a people who are enjoying the death around us. But we are a people that have a hope. And so Charlie's not up here, but Charlie had a bad week this week. And they're doing this Monday school thing where they go take it's like homeschool kids can go to. And she goes up there, and of course she stays in the class that Abram's in. And so I called her, said I was going or whatever, and she was like having one of those where it's like, I'm emotional, I can't talk, I don't want to cry, you know. And so she's sitting there in that class, and Abram, all these other kids, the neurotypical kids, playing, laughing, hey, Miss Charlie, come play this, hey, Miss, while her son's over there swimming. And won't play. And it's okay to say that hurts, isn't it? And I talked to her about this. I was reminded of the discussion Sunday for the book study. It was so encouraging to me that I remember Jeremy, as soon as he said it, I was like, that hit home. Because I felt that, and I know others in here have too. When he was talking about the death there, and he was like, you know, I had faith that God could heal, but at the same time, you know, whatever He wills. And isn't that, that's like in the heart of every believer. It's like, Lord, You can do this, and I trust You, but then it's like, there's a check there, like, but whatever You, and I thought about that. And that's basically what Martha told the Lord in chapter 11. In verse 21, Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. She knew He could have done it. If You had shown up and manifested Your creative power, he would not have died. Even now let me say this, because it needs to be said, because I feel like sometimes some of us brothers can be overly zealous. The Lord does not rebuke her for her sadness of not seeing her brother. Do you notice that? He didn't say, heaven is about me, don't focus on your family. It's not wrong. In perspective. Why else did Paul write 1 Thessalonians 4? Comfort one another with these words. Those who have died in Christ, they have not perished. And so our Lord, in verse 22, as she goes on, she says, even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. So she had this faith. Lord, if You had been here, You could do it. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to Him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And I knew what the Lord would want to say to Charlie Monday. I haven't showed up. And if I showed up, yes, I can make him whole. But what I want you to do is look ahead and place your hope there that I am the resurrection and the life. And one day, this last day, at the trump, the dead in Christ will rise. And so, this is what John is on about. In the beginning, he says, not only is there this link, this word, he's this hope, there's this coming hope, but he's saying, there's the life of the Word. He actually rose and began the new creation already in His resurrection. In other words, we're not just hoping in a promise. that will one day be fulfilled. We're hoping in a promise that has already begun to be fulfilled in His resurrection. In Him was life. What a glorious statement in a world of death to say, in Him was life. John looks over this world of death and he looks back at what he remembered. And he says, one thing I remember is that in Him was life. Now, because God wants you to get this so much, He says, not only the link of the Word, not only the life of the Word, but the light of the Word. He gives us a picture. I notice those little girls, when they're sending their letters, they were drawing pictures. God has actually set up in creation and everything a picture of this life and death and these light and darkness. He says in verse 4, and the life was the light of men. So what does this mean? The life was the light. And what does it mean in verse 5? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Well, I think John makes use of this to help us understand, to give us a picture, but also because he can use these as umbrella terms to describe the two creations. The one of darkness, and he can list all the adjectives under there. The darkness of evil, the darkness of ignorance and blindness, in lies, in the darkness of death. And over here is light. The creation is known from the beginning of the Bible as light going out. You think this all through Scripture when Paul's saying, the God who said light has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge. He's describing conversion as a new creation. It's all throughout the Bible. The light represents this life of the new creation. It can represent goodness and truth and all these things in John, but I think they're all here, but the main one in his mind is the light of life, because he says the life was the light. The life, the resurrection was the life. Chapter 8, verse 12 bears this out. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So the darkness is a realm of death. The light is a realm of life. Who can forget all throughout the Old Testament, beginning in Genesis and then Isaiah 9:2, the people who sat in darkness, upon them a light has shone. Those who dwelled in the shadows of death, the light has shone. The light is about the life, and the darkness is about the death. With that in mind, I don't think John accidentally does a couple of things. I'm going to show you one verse at the time of Jesus' death where the word for darkness is used, and then another at the time of his resurrection where light is presupposed. John 13. This is at the Last Supper. And Judas is going out to betray the Lord. And Satan has entered into him. And in verse 30, John adds, so after receiving the morsel, he went out immediately, and it was night. The darkness of death was settling in. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus, when the people come to get him, he tells them, "This hour and the powers of darkness are yours." The powers of darkness. It's all throughout Scripture. Remember Abraham when he's trying to cut the covenant? The darkness settles in to prevent it. It's spiritual, it's wickedness, it's death in the world. Men are under, he calls Satan in this gospel the ruler of this world. And on his way to the cross, he says he's about to be cast out. Now that's his death. Does John write anything similar about the resurrection? Indeed he does. Chapter 20. Where we get the account of the empty tomb. And Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb, 20 verse 1, while it was still dark. Our Lord rose from the dead while it was dark. And if you put this account together with what we find in Matthew, it says apparently this is what happened. They came to the tomb and it says as at the breaking of day. So you put it together and imagine Jews who know Isaiah 9:2 looking into that tomb. It's dark. And they realize he's not there. In daylight, peeking over the horizon, as they discover that the Lord has risen from the dead. Isaiah 9:2, the people who sat in the shadows of death, upon them a light has shone. God even ordained that. The sun to rise at that moment. The dawn to come at that moment. That as they're looking, the dawn is coming. The light has come into the world. The life was the light and it shines in the darkness. And what light and darkness are opposite powers. They are not equal powers. When have you ever seen darkness move light out of the way? And that's John's. He's saying, look, the darkness, 1330, when Judas went out, Satan put it in his heart. It was night. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not overcome it. She came to the tomb while it was still dark and saw that he had risen from the dead. So this is the Word for the world. The beginning of John's Gospel. The link of the Word fulfilling the Old Testament story. The life of the Word. That's how the resurrection. And therefore, He is the light of the world. I began with a story of two girls sending messages through mail. Just let me end with two other girls sending messages through text. Challie and Abby have become text messaging buddies over the past few weeks. And now if you have an iPhone, you know when you're looking at your text, if you send the text and it goes through, it'll say delivered right under there, and when the person reads it, it'll say read under there. And if the person's responding, you get the two or three dots, and you know they're responding. I want you to imagine if Challie sent Abby a text later on tonight, and all she ever sees on the screen is delivered. Never read. and never the three dots, no response to what John is saying. Is that God has sent a word to you. And my question for everyone is, how does your screen read to Him? Does it just read delivered? All the truth you've heard, is it just delivered? Have you not given it the time of day? Or maybe it reads read. Maybe you've read it. Maybe you know it. But there's no dots. There's no response. Well, I pray that you would read it. I pray you'd get along with Him and read this gospel and ask Him to reveal His word to you. And next time we come back, as we go on in verses 6 to 12, we'll see the response to this word. Let's pray. Father, I come before You in the name of Your Son. And Lord, we're so thankful that You have spoken. We're so thankful that You've sent light into this world. And we're so thankful it's free. Lord, help everyone here to have a screen that reads red, that has dots, that has responses, that has glorying in Christ, that light has come into the world. We thank You, Lord, that though we are people in darkness, upon us a light has shone.
Yeah.
A light that drives the darkness away. And Lord, help us. As You said in this gospel, while the light is among you, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. Help us to be sons and daughters of light in this world. Help us to tell people that in Him was life. And the life was the light of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.